Well, good morning. Peter's been starting his talk with what he called preambles. I'm going to start it with a joke. All right? So, anyway, there was this older couple, and they got very elderly, and they passed away, and they went up to heaven, and one of the saints met them, and they started showing them around and showing them the beautiful home that they had to live in. And the man said, what does it cost? And he said, oh, it doesn't cost anything. It's free. So he takes them down and shows them the nice pool area, and they could lounge around and enjoy the pool. And because you like pools, right? And he shows her the pool, and he said, well, is there any fees for this? No, it's all free. Takes them out to big open ground where there's a nice golf course. I don't like golf, but nice golf course, and they shows him the golf course. He said, no, it's all free. So the husband turns to his wife and says, you made me eat that health food for all those years, and I could have been here 10 years earlier. But as you know it, the wife always has the last word, and she says, yes, but you remember, we got saved late in life, and these last 10 years were our most fruitful years that we had in the Lord. And so this beautiful home is because of those last 10 years, where we got to serve the church freely, and we got to pray for our family every day, And we sought the Lord all those years, and it was beautiful, wasn't it? And he says, yes, it was, right? So, yes, she was right. Yes, that's right. That's the point, right? The point is these last years of our life can be the most fruitful years of our time on this earth. Okay, so what I wanted to talk about today is something very basic. And I wanted to start with Romans 10, verse 9. And in that scripture it says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, when I became a Christian, what I was told when I came to the Lord that I needed to make Jesus both my Lord and my Savior. And you see it here in the scriptures that especially all through Romans, it talks about Jesus Christ as our Lord. In Romans 1:4 and 1:7 it says our Lord Jesus Christ. In 4:24 it says he raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. And in Romans 5:1 it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it uses either Lord as like a title, or it uses as a description, Jesus our Lord. I personally like it that way because it makes it personal to me that he is my Lord.
That's right.
Right? So I remember quite a few years ago when we had our home group in the back of the church here, there was this one woman that was coming to the meetings. And I could tell the way she was talking and some of the things that she shared about her life that she wasn't really a believer. So we were discussing this scripture that Jesus needed to be both our Lord and our Savior. And she would say, oh yes, I believe, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Well, that's good. I kept bringing up points. Well, how is he your Lord? And finally I said, maybe it was the Lord, I finally said, well, that means he owns you. And at that point she backed up and had enough, right? She said, oh no one owns me. See, what does this word Lord mean? But But in a setting that most of the time we think of is like the lords and the serfs, you know, where you have your lord and he's your master, or like your boss, and he tells you what to do. But it's a little different with this scripture, because it makes it a capital L in our scripture, right, for Lord, which is a reference to that it's a divine title. So in other words, what we're saying is that we need to make Jesus our God. See, that's the reference of what it means for him to be our Lord, is that he needs to be our God. And then it says that if we believe in our heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and we'll get into that later, we'll be saved. And verse 10 it says, for in our heart one believes unto righteousness. You see, if we make Jesus our Lord or our God, as Jesus becomes our God, and we believe that in our heart, then it produces righteousness in us. In other words, it requires an action change. The way I was living before is now not pleasing to God, so I need to change it, right? So it's unto righteousness. And with your mouth confess that unto salvation. You see, there's an action of an outward thing and an inward thing that's happening. And the inward things needs to reflect what's the way you behave on the outside. And then in 13 it says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So the point is that the name of the Lord, or the Lord is Jesus, and the Lord is God. So the Lord Jesus is the name that we call on in which we can be saved. So that's what the idea of Lord means in this setting, where a capital is that he is our God. Sometimes I think we somehow move away from that a little bit, because we say, well, Jesus is the Son of God. And maybe we're thinking of like Thor or you know, one of the Greek gods, you know, where they have their son like Hercules, and he's running around in his human form, and he's got all kinds of character issue problems, and somehow, you know, when we say, you know, Jesus is the Son of God, that's what people are thinking about. And so I think we need to be very clear, and when we speak to our friends that are so involved in Greek culture, in a sense, that we need to define what the Hebrew idea of being a son of meant. And what it means is that it's of the same substance. So when Jesus said, yes, I am the Son of God, they ripped their clothes and yelled at him and said, blaspheme, blaspheme, because he's saying he is God. And how could Jesus be God? Because he's in human form. So we need to be very clear when we speak about Jesus, that he is our God, that he is our Lord, and he is the Lord and the King of all the universe. But our relationship with Jesus is a bit more complicated than him just being our Lord, isn't it? Because, you know, I don't know about you, it kind of blew my mind years ago when I read the scripture in John 15, 13 and 5 through 15. It talks about Jesus said, you know, no longer I call you slave, but I call you friend. And so how can our Lord or our master be a friend? because he explains there is that if we are just his servant, that a servant doesn't know what the master is doing. He said, but I'm your friend, and I'm going to tell you everything I heard and learned from I heard from the Father. So here we have this conflict in our relationship with him, that he's both God and master and Lord, and yet he says he's our friend. How can that be? Well, it is consistent, because if you go back to 2 Chronicles 27, it talked about Abraham as God's friend forever. I love that point, because it brings out the point that Abraham is still exists, doesn't it? Right? Because he's God's friend forever. I love that in when Jesus spoke to the Sadducees about the resurrection, he asked them a question. He says, well, how can it be that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob if there's no resurrection? You see, we need to believe that God has raised Christ from the dead. In John 1:12, it says, as many as received him, he gives them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name and who are born not of the blood, nor of the will of man, or nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. See, this is our heritage, is that we're children of God because of what he has done. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. That seems pretty obvious, right? But then it says something remarkable to me, that it says, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And how can any human stick closer than a brother? See, it is more than flesh and blood, isn't it? You see, it's the Holy Spirit that is talking about, that we were saying about it today, that is, we make him our temple because he lives inside us, that he is obviously closer than a brother. Well, how do we reconcile this idea of both Lord and friend? Jesus is both our Lord and our friend. And I think it's fairly simple, in that if we look at the relationship that he has with us, that it says that he's our head. So this headship relationship with Christ, with our Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, is the answer to how both friend and Lord fit into this relationship that we have with God. Because the headship relationship that we have denotes two things. First is that it, in Galatians 1:15, it talks about, because he became the firstborn over all creation and the head of the body, the church, the firstborn from the dead. So this, what we see is that gives him the authority, it gives him the vision, it gives him the direction, it gives him the control over the church or his body, because he is the head. And secondly, it denotes that he is the source. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 15:20 or 45, it says, talks about the first Adam being a living being, but the last Adam a life-giving spirit. And that is Jesus is the last Adam, and he is a life-giving spirit. We talk about John 15. We had a message on that a few weeks ago, where it talked about he is the vine and we are the branches. See, he is our source, our only source of life. So why not just Lord and Savior? Because we are not just slaves. We are not just servants, are we? To the Lord, we're not just slaves. We're not just servants. But like in Galatians 4, 1 and 2, it talks, let me look at that, Galatians 1, 4. Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Got to get past Romans, that's the problem. Here we go. It says, it's talking about the understanding of why the law was given here, but it says now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, doesn't differ at all from a slave, though he is the master of all. He is under a guardian or a student tutor until the time when his father has appointed him. So the point is that a young person or a immature person needs to behave a little bit like a slave, doesn't he? You know, a parent has to tell the child to clean its room, right? Unless it's going to be a mess, right? But as that child grows up, eventually, you know, you could tell that child time after time, go clean your room now, go clean your room now, I'll work with you and we'll clean your room. You know, but at some point, the child shouldn't be asking, what should I be doing any longer, right? He should grow up and know how to clean his room. He should grow up and know how to dress himself. So the point is that, you know, you and I need to grow up so that we would know the will of our Father, right? The will of our Father, you know, we need to be in communion with Him and asking Him what He wants us to do each day. But there are certain things in our day that we ought to be able to know what we're supposed to be doing, right? When you get up in the morning, you should know that I need to be talking to God. I need to know that I need to maybe read some scriptures. I need to be focused on the Lord. I need to know that I ought to have a place of fellowship so that every Sunday I don't have to ask Him, where should I go to church today? See, there's a place of maturity that comes that we just begin to do the things of God and do the things that are God's will for us. And then if there's something specific He wants to tell us, we can be open to that. You know, every day I wake up, I don't ask Him what shirt I should wear, right? What color I should wear. But if I wake up and He says, put on the red shirt today, then I ought to put on the red shirt because there may be a purpose in that. See, there's both the common, and then there's the things that God brings to us as the uncommon. And as growing into maturity, we need to be able to function and do the things of God without Him having to tell us everything, like, go clean up your room again. Oh, I haven't got that down yet. Okay, I'll go clean my room again. So when you and I need to grow up so that we would know the will of our Father, and as a helpmate, we want to come to the place as a helpmate of Jesus, to that Jesus, because of our being His helpmate, He is crowned with the glory. See, the wife is a crown for her husband. A crown of glory for her husband. Because when he goes out and she begins to function as his helpmate, everybody notices it, and it becomes back a reflection on him as something that is good. So Jesus is both our Lord and Savior, and the Creator of this world is also our friend. And because of that, see, that's where the grace of God comes in, that he functions as our friend, and we can know his will, and we can talk with him, and we, as a like a wife, can talk to her husband and understand what his purposes are and where he's going in his life and what is his vision for his family. And then she begins to operate in a way that brings that about and helps him accomplish those things. And that's what we're like. That's what we need to be like. We need to be functioning in the Lord in a way with maturity, that we know the will of our Father, and we're functioning in a way that if he speaks to us specifically about something, we are doing it. And we're looking for him to speak to us. So I'm really excited about understanding that Christ is our King and our salvation. And he is the one who brings about for us all the good things that we experience every day. So praise the Lord. The Lord also gave me a psalm that I wanted to read for you guys today to end the message. And this psalm, it may be specifically for a few people here, but it's a psalm that is a very short psalm. It's 131, if you want to turn to it. And it's a psalm of really having us come to a place of trust with the Lord. And when we come to a place of trust, then this psalm becomes very clear to us. It says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I consider myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaning child with his mother, like a weaned child, my soul within me. And then it says, O Israel, hope in God for this time forth and forever. See, a weaning child, a child on his mother's breast, close to his mother, is at peace. He's all taken care of. He's all fed. He's all changed. And he can just rest, and he's at peace because his mother brings him comfort. And this needs to be a picture of who we are with Christ. That we calm and quiet our soul because our trust and our faith is in Jesus, the Christ, the Lord, our friend. So what is there to worry about? What is it that he won't take care of? Is there anything too great for him to do? Did he not say even today that he would take care of us? Like a mother and a good father. So let's be at peace. that Jesus is our God, He is our Lord, and we are His responsibility. We are His bride. We are His body. Is He not going to take care of His body? Do you not take care of yours? I got up this morning, and you'll be glad to know I took a shower, combed my hair, got myself dressed, put on some cream to make my skin a little softer and not dry out. You know, I took care of some things. Brushed my teeth after I ate. You know, all those things. Because I know how to take care of my body, right? Well, Jesus knows how to take care of His body too. And He knows each part intimately. And He knows what it's capable of and not capable of. And the older I get, to find out more and more what my body is not capable of. But, you know, the point is that Jesus loves us. The Father loves us as a son. And how much He cares for His sons and daughters. And yet we fret many of the hours away in our day, worrying about different things. How will it work out? What happens if I get sick? What happens as I get older? What about my family? What about my children? What about my state? What about my nation? And all these things, God is in control. That's hard for us to sometimes fully appreciate because we look out and see so much chaos. And yet, that's what the earth was like before the Holy Spirit came upon the earth to begin creation. It says that the earth was in chaos and the Holy Spirit brooded upon it and changed it. So I sometimes just view that chaos is God's canvas. It's what He begins to somehow use. He works all things together for good. Isn't that the word we use? Well, all the things is chaos, right? Out of the chaos of Jesus' death, He brings us salvation. It's amazing what God does because He is a creative God. He is a God that does all of these things because He's one God and our Lord, but He's also our friend. I want to be like Abraham, where I'm God's friend forever. I want to serve Him, not just because I had to, but because my heart was for Him. My heart was out of love for Him. Isn't that what He said in John 14 and 15? If you love Me, you will do My commands. Sometimes we're trying to do things for God and run around and do things, and He just wants us to be quiet before Him. And then when He speaks, we ignore Him. You know, so it's like we're doing all these things and He speaks and we're not paying attention. I get that going on sometimes with my Alexa at home. It's doing something and I speak to it and it ignores me. Or she ignores me and I have to yell louder to her. But sometimes God has to speak up for me too, and it comes across lovingly but harshly maybe at times because I was doing my own thing and I needed to be centered on God's thing. So my life is before the Lord, and I have given my life and dedicated my life to Him, but I need to do that each day. See, that's what maturity is, isn't it? Is that we wake up each day and say, okay, I'm going to clean my room, and then God, what are we going to do next, right? You know, as that little child needs to clean the room, right? That's the example. So the point is that we need to function in what we know God wants us to do, but we need to be alert. We need to be listening. We need to be inviting the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts each day. Isn't that what it means to be His temple? Right? Isn't that what it means to be His priest? To have our attention on Him and not on our own affairs? Isn't that what it means to be a soldier in the kingdom of God? To be attentive to the things that the commander has given us to do and not on our own affairs and agendas? So this is where we're at, is that we need to be be our husband's helpmate. We need to be attentive to what He wants us to be doing each day. So let's do that. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are not only our Lord and our Savior, but also our friend, our husband, and our King, our Father. We thank You that You are all these things, and in each of these things, it speaks to us of the intimacy that You want to have with us. So, Lord, thank You that You are the vine and we are only the branches, because all our life source comes from You. And we delight in that today, Lord, and we surrender ourselves to that we could be taken care of by You and even pruned by You and walk in a way that is worthy of You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Be with us today in this simple little word, Lord, that we would be able to share the good news to our family and friends that You are our God and Savior. Thank You. Amen. Yeah.